And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on all of North Alabama. Yeah, man. I'm just saying, we are saving the world one soundbite at a time. So that was actually a pretty cool interview. I mean, I've known Dale a number of years, and there were times when we disagreed on policy. But for the most part, I bet we were in sync 95% of the time. I just got a couple of texts in. Paul from Athens just texted in and says, thank you, Dale, and good luck. That was cool. Josh from North Alabama just texted in and said, perhaps if they had spent less time on marijuana and gambling, they might have had more time to focus on education. Excellent point. But nonetheless, I will say it's amazing when you think about the things that have been accomplished, and Dale was right, and he was right in the middle of it. He spent 3 years in what I would call, those were truly three terms in like the depths of what I would call the Lowell Barron Senate. And if you're not familiar with Lowell Barron, you need to go back and look him up. He was the guy that ruled the Alabama State Senate with an iron fist as a Democrat, a very liberal Democrat. And at the risk of being slanderous, I'll just also say there's a lot of shady crap that happened in the State House during that time frame. And Lowell Barron, actually, one of the Republicans got so mad one day on the floor of the Senate, you can look it up, literally punched him in the mouth on the floor of the Senate during the course of Senate debates. It was that contentious at times. And so Dale pointed out, he said he tried to make it an environment where Democrats may not agree with what we were doing, but they wouldn't be treated like uncivilly. And I would say for the most part, he accomplished that. But there were many times when the shoe was on the other foot, and it was not that way when Democrats were in charge, and the Republican minority was often treated like those little pesky stepchildren, you know? A lot of things happened, a lot of things that had never happened in the history of Alabama. Like, who ever heard of politicians cutting their own pay? We did that. In fact, I was proud to be the guy who actually went to the podium to be the central debater in that bill to cut our own pay, because Democrats had given themselves a huge pay raise and we weren't going to stand for it. We put reserve accounts in place on the education budget, especially. That was the first one, so that if we ever had a bad year, we could have a buffer to work with. But at the same time, look at the budgets back before 2010. Virtually, I want to say a six out of the previous 8 years, something like that, the budgets have been prorated. What that basically means is you got a portion of the way through the year, and the governor, realizing there was not enough revenue, had to cut the budget in mid-year, which means the budget was never truly balanced to begin with. We have a balanced budget requirement in our state constitution, but when you just pass anything you want, and then it gets cut halfway through the year, you go, oh, well, sorry about that. But that hasn't happened since 2010. Other things that we did, you know, just were downsizing of government, consolidating departments, refusing to upfund departments that had rollover accounts where they still had money left at the end of the year, allowing natural attrition to take place. We didn't just go in there and fire people, but we said, you know what, we can't we can't just refill that position. It's going away. But the big ones that he talked about were school choice. That had never happened. Why? Because the teachers union, the AEA, the teachers union in Alabama was listed, and I've got an article right here that I pulled off of EdChoice website. It says literally the Alabama Education Association in 2013 was one of the most powerful teachers unions in America. I kid you not. They were literally the power broker in the state house. If you wanted anything done, it had to have Paul Hubbard's approval, the head of the AEA. And he would literally preside. He would sit in the gallery looking down at the legislature, especially in the House. And he would do like Caesar and give a thumbs up or thumbs down on bills, and that's how they would vote. Well, that went away, finally. And we were able to see school choice. The very first measure of school choice that was passed in 2013 was the Alabama Accountability Act. Let me tell you, you've got a very small buffet of items on the school choice buffet here in Alabama. Very small. You've got the Alabama Accountability Act, and you've got charter schools. And that's it. There's really not much anything else out there in terms of true choice in education. But the Alabama Accountability Act, the night we passed that, some say that was the first time that anything with the word education written into it ever got passed without the teachers union having a say-so in it. It was literally, it was a bill that the storyline, that I mean, I've got it right here in front of me. I remember it because I was there. But the story that I've got right here says, in an amazing stroke of legislative maneuvering, Alabama's Republicans added almost 20 pages to a small education bill that was being supported by Repubs and some Democrats and even the state superintendent. It was originally a piece that would target persistently failing schools and districts and drive them to innovate. But when they went into committee, Senator Marsh dropped a substitute on top of the bill that added 20 pages to it and created the Alabama Accountability Act that allows for the first time for parents to go, I want my child out of that failing school. I want something better for my kid. And they get to move to a public or private school and take 80%, technically, of the tax dollars that go to educate that child with them to the next place through a scholarship. And the way the scholarships are formed is if somebody would give money, give a dollar, to a scholarship-granting organization, special organizations that were set up by law, they can get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for having given that money to scholarships. Those scholarships are then given out to applicants so they can go somewhere and do something. It's administered without government influence. It's a non-government entity that's giving the scholarships out. But we give a tax credit, and we raise that cap to $35 million worth of tax credits we can give out now. Kids' lives are being changed because of that. Best night, literally, one of the best nights I had in 8 years. 8 years in the Alabama State Senate. And that night stands out to me as tops. And we need more of it. And we need some backbone. And we need some chutzpah in the Republicans who are down there right now who will have the brass to look the teachers union in the eye and say, yeah, I'm not taking your donation for my campaign, and I'm passing school choice, by God. We need it. All right, folks, coming up next, the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. You're going to want to hear it. Stay tuned. Be right back.